I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Tim McGraw, it's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP experience and your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show guitar tour to Pine Knot Music Theater August 28th. And you could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of MetroCars, and $100 to Buddy's Pizza to enter. Very simple. Download that free WJR mobile app, find the secret keyword, and then text it to 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. More information.
You like that? You like that?
It's available at WJR.com.
Yeah.
To be fair, I did have to check with Renee Vitale to see if those were the words before I said them.
You did very well.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's going to be a heck of a show. Meanwhile, you heard it. Mike Duggan is out of the race for governor. It certainly, at least to State Representative Ron Robinson, and sent shockwaves yesterday.
Well, I mean, I got to tell you, it sent shockwaves through Lansing, to be sure. And I understand the not raising funds aspect of it, but you know, I don't know. I think you just talking to my constituents, and you know, at least in Macomb County, I know a lot of moderates were looking very serious at him. So I don't put a lot of stock in the polls, so I don't know if he thinks he didn't have a path, but just for people I've talked to, not to say he would have won, but I know there was a lot of people extremely, you know, surprised by his announcement yesterday.
Certainly surprised. Again, money gets you elections. At least it helps. And he says that he was unable to fund at a national level. 94% of his money came from voters here in the state of Michigan, but that wasn't going to be enough because he didn't want to have to go back and ask for more from people. And even still, probably be out fundraised by both the Democrats and Republicans. Tom Leonard is the former Speaker of the House, ran for governor in this cycle, and of course, over at Plunkett Cooney now, but he joins us this morning. Tom, it's good to have you back. What did you make of the announcement yesterday? Obviously, there's a lot of internal conversations that go on in these campaigns. You're familiar with those. So what did you make of the public announcement yesterday?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, this was the inevitable, and I had been saying this for months. I mean, let me give you just one quick statistic. Somebody sent me this back in October. So since 1990, there have been 369 gubernatorial elections across the country. Only of those that have ran as independent, only 53% or 14% of them have ever hit 5%. Mm. And only six, less than 2%, have actually won. And
six
I don't think
candidates.
One's ever
six candidates.
That's it. Yeah. Since 1990, correct, out of 369 races, and I don't believe one has ever won in a state that has straight party ticket voting. Mm. And, you know, he was just up against a huge challenge. As you mentioned, when you look at the infrastructure that the parties have, I mean, come this fall, you know, each side's going to have $50, $60 million coming from outside, you know, entities. He was not going to have that. It just simply wasn't going to happen.
What has been your relationship with Mike Duggan over the years, both as a lawmaker and otherwise? This is somebody obviously that ushered in a new era of the city of Detroit, but what's been your experience with him?
It's been great. He's somebody that I worked closely with on a couple issues when I was House Speaker, namely auto insurance reform. And somebody that I was always very clear, you know, I was always clear with folks about this, somebody who, even though we had our political differences, somebody that I trusted and considered a friend. We worked very well together. And I'll never forget in 2019 when I reached out, President Trump had nominated me to be the U.S. attorney for the Western District of Michigan, and I needed help. I needed somebody to write me a letter of support on the other side of the aisle. Mike Duggan never wavered. The next day, I had that letter in my inbox, and it was a very sincere and very nice letter. Again, he's somebody that's been a friend of mine, somebody that I trust, you know, despite the political differences.
And I think that was really the basis of his campaign, is being able to break the toxicity, the tribalistic tendencies of these parties. Again, it doesn't feel like we're at the right place, right time. I did maintain that if somebody was going to be able to break that streak of one of the major parties winning in the state of Michigan, it probably would be Mike Duggan. But it just shows you how kind of far away still we are from that.
Absolutely. You know, and listen, and this goes back to when I got out a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I was very clear. If you're going to win an argument on the issues, and I believe you can, you better have $10 to $15 million in the bank. And if not, then you're going to have to run a very strong social media campaign. And frankly, on social media, they don't care about issues. It's about the twerking, the dancing, the cussing, the, you know, calling people out, the fighting, and the 15-second videos. That's not Mike Duggan. That's not me. And if he was going to run as an independent, he was going to have to do so in a way where he was going to be a disruptor, not one bringing people together, unfortunately.
Mm. What do you make of the polling? He said yesterday that if the polling was even and they had less money, there was a path. If they had even money, but the polling was down, there was a path. He says both were down. The Detroit Regional Chamber issued that poll that showed that he was 11 points behind Jocelyn Benson. How much stock do these campaigns put into that polling when making decisions like this?
Well, I think in his situation, they had to put a lot of stock into it, again, because everybody knew what an uphill climb it was going to be. And you know what, right this far out, what polling's good for is trends. You know, you can't look at the hard numbers. It's look at the trends. And his numbers were trending the wrong way. Again, he just had an insurmountable challenge. It was going to be very tough for him. And, you know, frankly, I think for him, he made the right decision yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And so what's next as it relates to, these campaigns leading up to the primary? What do you think we see? I think there's obviously a clearer path for Jocelyn Benson here, but what do we see on both sides leading up?
Yeah, so as you can see, I think over the past several months, I believe her side has really started to coalesce around her. And I think you're going to start to see the same thing to an extent around the Republicans. I mean, earlier this week, I formally and officially endorsed John James. Mm-hmm. I believe he gives us the best chance to win in November. And I think you're going to see other Republicans start to do that as well. Now's the time that you're going to start to see the parties coalesce. They know it's time to win, especially on the Republican side. That's what I think is going to happen.
Tom Leonard, always great insight. Thank you very much. I know it's been already a long year for you and your campaign. My best to the family. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, and we'll talk again very soon.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a good one.
Yeah, you got it. That's Tom Leonard here on JR Morning. Coming up on the other side, Jamie Butters is going to join us. He's got a new podcast, or a new show, rather. It starts here on WJR Saturday at 7 a.m. It's called Auto Town. We'll talk to him coming up on the other side. But first, at 7:44, time for Automotive Views with Mike Martinez. It's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org.
Chrysler's no longer on life support. Stellantis said this week the historic brand, which in recent years has been reduced to a single product, will get some much-needed investment as part of a new company-wide business plan. That involves updating the Pacifica minivan, as well as adding three new crossovers by 2030. Two of those three new crossovers will be priced under $30,000. With the new products, Stellantis aims to grow Chrysler's volume by 60% to about 225,000 vehicles in 2030. It's all part of an aggressive plan that includes multiple new products for the North American market, including new Ram compact and midsize pickups and an entry-level Dodge that executives liken to a better version of the Hornet. There's been some conjecture that Stellantis might abandon underperforming brands. It's refreshing to see the international automaker recognize Chrysler's value here in the U.S. and give it the money to succeed. For this week's Automotive View, I'm Mike Martinez with Automotive News.